The field of mental health counseling is growing rapidly, and Richmond Graduate University can equip you with everything you need as a licensed professional counselor while integrating your faith into your clinical practice. Programs are offered in Atlanta, Chattanooga, and online. Apply today at richmont.edu. That's richmont.edu.
I'm Earlonne Woods.
I'm Nigel Poor. We're the hosts and creators of Ear Hustle from PRX's Radiotopia.
Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast.
In this next season, we've got stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells,
about residents in a women's prison who say they want to stay there,
and the most beautiful prison garden. Earlonne, I will never forget it.
Ear Hustle, stories about life on the inside told by those who live it.
Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
For Thursday, October 14th, 2021, it's The Brief from WABE. I'm Emil Moffitt. City officials have announced long-promised community benefits for a development near State Farm Arena known as The Gulch that once was 50 acres of parking lots and railroad tracks. The Atlanta City Council narrowly approved a $1.7 billion deal in 2018 with the developer CIM Group to turn the Gulch into Centennial Yards South. The head of the CIM Group, Richard Ressler, announced 15% of residential units at Centennial Yards South are designated as affordable for the next 20 years, and 20% of the units on the rest of the property will be considered affordable for 99 years. Developers say they will also invest $28 million to support citywide affordable housing. As companies in Metro Atlanta and across the country struggle to find workers, community organizers say the federal government should do more to help women rejoin the workforce. The group shared their concerns with Atlanta's mayor and the Secretary of Labor this week. Erica Clemens-Dean is with United for Respect, which advocates for retail workers. She says women need paid leave to deal with unexpected health crises, they need equal pay, and they need help affording childcare, which she says is often costing families more than they can actually make.
And honestly, in the conversations that we've been having, they can't afford to go back to work. It doesn't make sense to go back to work.
Stats show the pandemic has hit women the hardest, especially those with young children. Clemens-Dean joined others at a roundtable Wednesday with Labor Secretary Marty Walsh, who continues to try and drum up support for President Joe Biden's $3.5 trillion spending plan that attempts to address some of these concerns.
Every time the investments that are made aren't equally attributed across the board, this has to be different this time.
Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms hosted the roundtable. She says the struggle of many women in Atlanta, and black women in particular, predates the pandemic.
To hear from the women today, to get that information directly to him, is what we need to make sure that our concerns are addressed. And now we need Congress to act.
While the smaller $1.9 trillion infrastructure package has bipartisan support in Washington, Republicans and even some key Democrats oppose the larger measure. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has tapped the Atlanta-based Task Force for Global Health to set up COVID-19 vaccination programs in dozens of low- and middle-income countries. It's been working for years to stand up influenza vaccination programs there, says Joe Brzee, an epidemiologist at the nonprofit. On today's Did You Wash Your Hands, our podcast about the coronavirus, he talks with WABE health reporter Sam Whitehead and starts with the task force's work on the flu.
We've been working with CDC on helping support low- and middle-income countries develop and mobilize influenza vaccination campaigns for the last 5 to 7 years. And this was an important program because influenza is a huge cause of disease around the world, especially in low and middle income countries where healthcare systems are less refined. And so the risk of death, the risk of hospitalization is highest in those countries. And those are the very countries that don't have vaccination programs for influenza historically. And over time, the countries have understood the value, realize the value of influenza vaccination, and have taken over those programs as a self-funded enterprise, which is exactly what the goals of the program were. COVID follows much the same patterns where countries also don't have COVID vaccinations up until COVID emerged, obviously, but neither did they have systems to deliver vaccines to the very populations that COVID vaccines were meant for: adults, health workers, diabetics, elderly persons. all the people that also get influenza vaccines. And so we were able to use the expertise we developed over the last several years working with countries and CDC on influenza vaccination and mobilize that in support of this global enterprise of COVID vaccination.
And I'm hoping you can give me kind of some specific examples here of what this work on the ground actually looks like.
Sure. And so think about COVID vaccination programs and sort of developing and delivering vaccines into three buckets of activities. One bucket is planning. You have to define who's going to get the vaccine. Do you have the right health worker staff to give the vaccines? They know how to give the vaccines. They know how to get rid of the sharps and the needles that are produced by the vaccination. There's implementation activities. And this is, how do you reach people? How do you get them to be vaccinated? How do they become advocates for vaccination, willing vaccinees? This is a very tricky area. And so some of the things we support in some of our countries are communication campaigns or studies to understand how best to communicate those messages, because the messages need to be tailored to the right population, to the right area, to the right age groups, et cetera. The third part is this evaluation part, which is critical now as we see the vaccination campaigns are now several months old and soon will be a year old and then 2 years old. How do you get better over time? And so we're engaged with a host of countries on evaluating the vaccine campaigns, how have they done so far, in the hopes that you then circle back and develop another plan to get the vaccines, another communication plan that's even more effective than it was in the first place.
We can look at the vaccination situation here in the U.S., and it's faced considerable challenges. There are still large portions of this country that have expressed little to no interest in opposition to vaccination. And I think that will lead a listener quite rationally to think, well, why are we working so much overseas when we still have these big challenges at home with, you know, some of the same stuff y'all are working on? How would you respond to that?
I would say it's not an either or thing. There's rightly so a lot of attention and a lot of work going on domestically to make sure that as many people get vaccinated as quickly as they can. At the same time, there's plenty of evidence that shows that the U.S. can have the highest vaccine coverage in the world, but unless everybody in the world is protected against the disease will continue to spread and continue to create a threat to the United States. As long as we let it percolate around anywhere in the world, whether it's the U.S. or Cameroon, we're all in danger.
Joe Brzee is an epidemiologist at the Task Force for Global Health. You can find more of his conversation with our health reporter Sam Whitehead in the latest episode of Did You Wash Your Hands? Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. The Atlanta Symphony Orchestra has appointed its new music director, and she's only the second woman to lead a major American orchestra. City Lights host Lois Reitzes has the story.
Nathalie Stutzmann has been named the fifth music director of the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra. She succeeds Robert Sponner, who was music director for 20 years. Stutzmann joins the orchestra with an illustrious career as a singer and conductor with the Philadelphia Orchestra and Norway's Kristiansand Symphony. She says her gender is irrelevant for the job.
As a conductor, I don't want to be hired because I'm a woman. I want to be hired for my work.
Stutzmann officially starts her new position next fall. Tonight, she'll conduct the ASOS Music Director Designate in works by Tchaikovsky, Verdi, and the contemporary American composer Missy Mazzoli. Lois Reitzes, WABE News.
And you can hear Lois's full interview with Nathalie Stutzmann at our website, wabe.org. And finally today, Atlanta Braves fans will find out who their team plays in the National League Championship Series later tonight, or maybe even in the early hours of Friday morning. Alex Helmick explains why.
The Braves will play the winner of tonight's game between the Los Angeles Dodgers and San Francisco Giants. The series is tied at 2 each, and Game 5 doesn't start until 9 p.m. Eastern time. It has been an improbable season for the Braves. Injuries and poor play set them back for the first couple months of the season. But with a series of late-season winning streaks, timely hitting, and very good pitching, the Braves were able to win the NL East and then dispatch the Milwaukee Brewers in the playoffs. Last year, the Braves played the Dodgers in the NLCS, only to lose in 7 games to the eventual World Series champions. Alex Helmick, WAB News.
That's it for The Brief. You can find more local news at WABE.org. Lily Oppenheimer produced today's program. Kathleen Quillian is our editor. In for Jim Burris, I'm Emil Moffitt. Thanks for listening.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
The Gold Dome Scramble podcast is now plugged in, a WAB politics podcast. New name, same in-depth, on-the-ground reporting from us, WAB politics reporters Sam Greenglass and Raul Bally. We'll cover local, state, and national politics as we go beyond the headlines with journalists, voters, and politicians. New episodes drop Fridays starting April 26th. Listen and subscribe at WAB.org or your favorite podcast platform.